Wherever you are watching Manifest in the world, you're going to want to hear this message, how Israel and the Jews prove that God exists. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, it reads, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant." Notice that, everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. "Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting," notice that word, "possession, and I will be their God." Genesis chapter 17, verses 6 and 8. In an introduction I want to give you, over 300 years ago, King Louis the 14th of France ask a great Christian philosopher, Pascal, to give him proof that God exists. Without hesitation, the Christian philosopher replied, "Why, the Jews, Your Majesty." So Mark Twain, who basically was more of an agnostic, went to the Holy Land and viewed it and talked about how could it be the Holy Land, how could it be the land of milk and honey, because in that day it was mostly a desert. But he made this statement afterwards, "All things are mortal but the Jews. What is the secret of their immortality?" Now, the reason we say something like that, or maybe let's go back, Mark Twain would say something like that, is because if you look at the empires or nations that have attempted to control the Jews or to rule from Israel or what was later called Palestine, look at these empires, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire. The Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492. The Turks controlled Jerusalem from 1517 to 1917. The British Empire took Palestine from 1917 to 1948. And of course, there was the terrible Holocaust with Germany from 1939 to 1945, in which 6 million Jews, 1.5 million of them being children, perished. So then we have to ask ourselves the questions, how does the Jewish people, how does the nation of Israel continue to exist? They're out of the land, they come back to the land, they are not a nation, they become a nation. So question number one is this, why did God choose the Hebrew people? Well, I want to first of all say that Abraham is called a Hebrew. He is a descendant of Eber, who came from Shem, and that's where the name comes from. It actually means one that crosses the river. So I'm going to give you a verse that tells you why God chose Abraham. This is a quote from the Lord. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So, in brief, this is why God chose Abraham, because God knew Abraham would train his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob, to keep the way of the Lord. And of course, the way of the Lord would be the instructions or the commandments of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 6 and 13 tells us that when God went to Abraham to make an agreement with him, to give him a land for his descendants, God swore an oath. And that word oath in Greek is a legal binding word or agreement. And he could swear by no higher, so God swore by himself. In other words, God has put himself behind the land. God has put himself behind the covenant. And I would remind you that God several times tells Abraham that this is going to be an everlasting covenant concerning the land and concerning the people. Now, the second thing I want to share with you is I want you to think about this for a moment, because most people don't. Think about Israel's spiritual responsibility, not just from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but from the time that Moses gave the Torah and the law. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 3, 1 through 2. "What advantage then has the Jew, or what profit of circumcision? Much in every way. chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. So here's what Paul is saying. So what advantage has a Jew compared, let's say, to a Gentile? Well, they were the ones that, according to the scripture, received the law. They received the commandments. They received the instruction, which was the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision of the male foreskin on the eighth day. They produced the biblical prophets of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. They also gave us the Holy Scripture, the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote in the wilderness. And they gave us the minor prophets, and minor doesn't mean insignificant. It just means the book is smaller, and the major prophets, such as Ezekiel and Isaiah and so forth. The biggest part of the Jewish existence was they produced through Mary, who was from the lineage of the house of David, the Messiah, who would become the king of the world and would become the savior of mankind. So my point is this, that the ultimate process of God choosing Abraham and the Jewish people was to, for there to be a traceable lineage for the Messiah. Now, if you go to Matthew's gospel and you go to Luke's gospel, you will discover that there is a direct genealogical list, a genealogy that goes from Adam and goes with Abraham and will show you who were the men that were in the lineage of Jesus. And he had to be from the tribe of Judah, and he had to be from the house of David. And we know biblically that lineage was traceable. So God made sure that that lineage remained faithful from father to son to son to son to son to bring about the Messiah. So this is why God selected the lineage to begin with Abraham and then followed through with Isaac and then followed through with Jacob. Now, the third thing I want you to understand, which is very significant, is how strict God was on the Jewish people. Unlike he was more strict on them than any other nation in antiquity or ancient history. Why was God so serious about when they disobeyed? Think about this for just a moment. 600,000 men over 20 years of age left Egypt to go to the promised land, but because of their unbelief, 599,998 men died in the wilderness in 40 years, and only two men, Joshua and Caleb, who were 80 and 85 years of age, made it into the promised land. And those nearly 600,000 men who originally came out died because of their unbelief. Then we have, while the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, we had a man by the name of Korah. And Korah rebelled against Moses. And Korah and his house, along with 250 princes, these were leaders among the Jewish people, the Hebrew people that came out of Egyptian bondage, their households went literally, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And then there was 14,700 others who also suffered death as a result of this. Exodus chapter 32 and 28, when Moses was 40 days upon Mount Sinai receiving the law and the commandments of God, what were the Israelites doing? They began to worship, they built, and they began to worship a golden calf. When Moses returned off the mountain, 3,000 died because of idolatry. And then later on, and this again is mentioned in Numbers 25, for example, verse 9, that when they got to Shittim, which was an area in the desert, that the daughters of Moab went into the tent and began to commit fornication with the young Hebrew men. And as a result of that, 24,000 died in that particular judgment from God. We also have the two sons of the high priest, Nadab and Abihu, who were the sons of Aaron, and they died in Numbers chapter 3 and verse 4. They died offering strange fire. Now, when they came to the promised land at the city of Ai, which is AI, you know, we talk about AI today, but the words, the letters A and I are the I is how you pronounce it, and they held back, or I should say, Achan held back a Babylonian garment and some gold, and it displeased the Lord because that was supposed to go in the treasury of the house of God. So in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 5, 36 men died trying to take on this little tiny city as a part of judgment. Achan and his family, Joshua 7, verses 20 through 25, they were slain as a result of disobedience. Leviticus chapter 24, there was a boy whose father was an Egyptian. He blasphemed the name of the Lord, and his life was taken because that was a breaking of the commandment. There was a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. He was stoned, Numbers 15:33. So I'm looking at this, and so I looked at this, and in a period of 41 years, there was now we're not counting the men who, the 600,000 men who died, almost 600,000. As I said earlier, two came into the promised land. The rest of them passed away. But in 41 years, 41,990 people died because of sin or disobedience. Now, what in the world is the deal with God sending this type of judgment on people? I mean, God's not out there just trying to kill everybody because he doesn't like him or he's angry with him. But the point is, God gave them instructions of how not to live like the heathen, how not to be involved in idolatry, how not to be involved in the sexual immorality that the pagan tribes were involved with, how not to offer their children to the fire the way the worshipers of Moloch did. And so when they broke those laws and commandments, they were God's people. They were given an instruction. They were in covenant with God. God had made an agreement over this land. So you have to understand that the lineage of Christ had to come through the house of David. And if everybody's going out there and sinning, you corrupt the seed of the house of David, and you corrupt that lineage which is coming for the Messiah. This is why God was so strict with the ancient Hebrew nation. It had to do with the Messiah coming to earth, and it had to do with the prophecies concerning his birth. Now, I want you to look with me very carefully. I'll give you the verses here. The seven promises God told the Hebrew nation. Okay, Genesis 22:17. He said, Abraham, your seed will be as the sand and the stars. Sand is earthly, stars are heavenly. There's the earthly seed, which is the natural Jew. There is the spiritual seed, which are believers who believe in Messiah through the lineage of Abraham. So there's sand and stars here. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, God said to him, you will be given the land for an inheritance, and it would be from the river of Egypt all the way to the Euphrates River. That's the land territory that God promised to Abraham and his descendants. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5 says this, you will be given a place. I will put my name there. You will worship me there. And that place would be the city of Jerusalem. So listen, Jerusalem is under covenant with King David. And it goes back to the book of Deuteronomy with the writing of Moses, where God would put his name there and be worshiped there in the holy city. And of course, that happened when they built the sacred temples there. Deuteronomy 28:58 through 67 says, you'll reject me and go into great captivity and be diminished in numbers. And so God warned them, there's going to be a time that you will go. They went into Babylonian captivity. They went into captivity during the Romans. They passed away during the Holocaust. This has been fulfilled. Deuteronomy chapter 30 said, but you will return to the land and you will prosper and not be removed again. Now, they returned to the land in 1948, and I'm telling you something, they're not going to be removed from the land again. The Antichrist will try it during the time of tribulation, but Jesus Christ will return and prevail. Chapter 11, verse 11, predicted that the Jews will return a second time, and when they returned the second time, they would never go into captivity again. The first captivity was with Babylon. The second captivity was with Rome. Now that they're back in the land, it will never happen again. Isaiah chapter 11, 14 tells you something very interesting. It says that when the Jews return back to the land of Israel, they will fly back on the area of the shoulders of the Philistines. Now, if you've heard our prophecy teaching in the past, you know that the Ben-Gurion Airport, where tourists fly in by the thousands every year, and where Jews return from Russia and Ethiopia, and they fly in from, let's say, New York or wherever they may be coming from, they fly on what is called the shoulders of the ancient Philistine territory where the Ben-Gurion Airport is located. These are all prophecies that are given in the Bible about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Now, the end time prophecy that you're going to see happening in the days, months, or years ahead, the end time prophecy is going to be centered on Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. There can be no doubt about it. Let me tell you something. You can't minimize it. You can't destroy it. You are not able to alter it, and you are not able to change it, because in the book of Daniel, Daniel specifically gives the 70 weeks that are determined for the people of God. And Daniel several times says this is about Israel, Jerusalem, and God's people. He makes it very clear. So when you read the book of Revelation about the 144,000 Jews, about the Jews sealed with the seal of God, about the two witnesses coming in Revelation 11, it is about Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. Daniel 9:24 said, it's to be determined for the holy city to finish a transgression and make an end to sin. Daniel 10:14, understand what will befall your people, that's the Jewish people, in the latter days. Daniel 12:1, at the time of the end. Your people, that's the Jewish people, it's not the church. Church didn't exist then. Your people shall be delivered, everyone that is found written in the book. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, the Gentiles shall trample the holy city of Jerusalem for 42 months. That's during the tribulation period. Revelation 12 and verse 6, there will be a remnant that will flee to the wilderness for 42 months where they will be protected and they will be defended by the Lord. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. There's no way that you can get out of it. But the question is, why does Satan hate the Jews and Jerusalem and Israel so much? I'm going to give you five quick reasons why he hates them. First of all, Israel built, they're the only nation that that built on earth. Let me keep it in order. They are the only nation on earth that God himself established a covenant with. Now, other nations have established a covenant with God. America's founders did that, but God himself established a covenant with the seed of Abraham or the nation of Israel. Number two, Satan hates Israel because Israel was the nation that built on earth what was built in heaven. God built a heavenly temple with sacred furniture, and Moses saw that temple in a vision and copied it in the tabernacle in the wilderness. They're the only people that ever did that. So they gave God an access on earth through the tabernacle and through the temple. Number three, Israel gave the world the prophets and the word of God. And that's what Paul wrote about in Romans. Number four, Satan hates Israel because they were chosen to bring forth the Messiah and the Savior of the world. And Satan tried everything to hinder that up to the fact of raising up Herod to kill all the children 2 years of age that were living in Bethlehem, hoping to kill the Messiah. And it failed, of course. That plot failed. But the fifth reason is this. Israel's continuous existence is proof that God exists. So why are Israel and the Jews so in battle? Why does Satan want to destroy them? I'm going to go through this very quickly. First of all, because Israel's restoration initiates the last days. Isaiah 2:2, the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house would be established in the city of Jerusalem. Micah chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days, all nations will flow to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Daniel 8:17, 11:35, chapter 12, verse 4 and verse 9, the end time, the last days are links, totally linked with the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. So Satan knows when he sees activity connected with Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem, that that his time is running out. And in the book of Revelation, it tells us that he will come down with great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. Now, the second reason that Satan, I think, is running nervous right now is because the coming of Christ is linked to the restoration of Israel and the Jews returning to the land. I heard a great minister, very knowledgeable, kind of play all of this down and say, you know, well, I won't get into it. It would take too long to explain. I'm running out of time. But the point that I want to make is this, that when the Jews begin to return in 1948, Israel recaptured Jerusalem as the capital in 1967. The Jews returned from Arab nations, Ethiopia, 1.6 million, it's more than that now, have returned from Russia. Jeremiah 16, 14 through 16, there would be an exodus from the north country that would be greater than the exodus from the land of Egypt. The Jews are going to have to return from the west, Isaiah 43, 5, 49, 12, Zechariah 8, 17. It says they're going to tremble in the west, Hosea 11, verse 10. And I just want to tell you that all of this is happening now. The third reason, very quickly, Satan knows his time is running out, and he knows there's a clock of his doom that begins to tick away when the flag of Israel flies again. Isaiah 5:26, he will lift up an ensign to the nations for an ensign. Isaiah 11 and 12, he shall set an ensign for the nations and assemble the outcast of Israel. Isaiah 18 and 3, when he lifts an ensign on the mountains and when he blows the shofar, hear it and listen to it. Psalm 16 and 4, they are given a banner to them and far and that should be displayed throughout because of truth. The ensign in Hebrew is a flag, a flagstaff, or a pole. So when you see the flag of Israel, it represented by the Megan David, the Star of David, you know it's a sign of the last days. Now look, I have a little bit more to cover, but I'm run out of time. So I want to just share with you, share this with others. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit the button one time. Give it a thumbs up because more people need to hear this message. My son and I have completed a major book. You can get a signed copy of him and I signing the first edition if you order it right now from the Voice of Evangelism Ministry. Here's the information how to get it.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new two-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message, unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air. I want to say something to you that the title of the book doesn't really give you the detailed content that you're going to receive. I was looking at this a moment ago, and I want to share this with you. Secrets to Protective Prayer. If there's ever been a time that you and your children and your family need to be under protective prayer, it's the season that we're in now. And I'm going to teach you a prayer that you need to pray consistently over your family, especially when they're going to school or when they're traveling. The End Time Ministry of a Hedge Maker. What is a hedge maker? I'll teach you that in the book as well. Beware of becoming a scammer's victim. Now, there are older people that are falling into what's called romance scammers. And these are people from outside the United States that have fake profiles and fake pictures. And they're getting people to send them money, and they're fake falling in love and saying, oh, I want to come and see you. And there's people losing everything they have in bank accounts, becoming a scammer's victim. And you need to read this. What happens when society breaks down? Are there areas that the Lord has given me, for example, to share with you that are safer in the United States, for example, to be in the future than certain other places? This is a great book, and Jonathan and I have signed a copy for you. And don't forget the major birth pain cycles. You know, the major birth pain cycle, 66 to 70 AD, was the big cycle that led to the destruction of Jerusalem. And there is a four-year cycle, and it actually starts about 2026 that we're going to enter into in the nation and actually in the entire world. So please don't delay. Go to your phone or go to perrystone.org and get the book and the audio CD today. I want to just mention to you that our International Prophetic Summit is coming up. It is the greatest meeting of the year, in my opinion, and we still have a few seats available. So make plans to get here. Once you're in town and you get settled in this town, you just drive over to the convention center and back to your hotel, and restaurants are all here, etc. And now also on June the 10th, I'm going to be preaching at the Kentucky Church of God Camp Meeting at the campground in Lexington, Kentucky, hosted by Bishop Dave Jarvis. And then I'm coming back to Knoxville, Tennessee to Redemption Church with Pastor Ed King. All of you from Jellicoe, from Lake City, from Knoxville, from Bristol area, please remember June 12th, 13th, and 14th. And then Pam and I are coming back to Alaska at Trinity Christian Center June the 17th through the 21st. So you folks from Alaska, get a room down there somewhere in Soldotna, Alaska, and come and be a part of this, or drive in for a service or two. And all the information is at perrystone.org. Don't forget Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page and the Perry Stone YouTube channel. And stay in touch with us. See you next week.